Welcome to Nutrition for Me on UK Health Radio, your global feel-good radio. Today's show is brought to you in collaboration with Revive Active, our show's sponsor, Ireland's number one super supplement brand. Enjoy Revive Active's range of super supplements and feel great. Revive Active have teamed up with UK Health Radio to offer listeners an exclusive discount so you can test their supplements for yourself and start to feel super. Just go to reviveactive.com and use code RADIO20 to get 20% off their entire range. I'm Dora Walsh, personalized nutritional therapist and functional medicine practitioner, supporting you to overcome your health problems like obesity, hard to lose weight, low immunity, autoimmunity, chronic fatigue, skin conditions, digestive problems, out of control cravings, and much more. Join me each week as I delve into the fascinating world of health and nutrition, focusing on the most important tips and nutrition advice that can really aid us in our quest for health, energy, and longevity. If you want to find out more about my work, you can find out more about that on my website, NutriHeal.net. This week, we're talking about giving up alcohol for health. Many people want to give up alcohol, but some find it hard to do so for so many reasons, whether social, habitual, or even due to dependency. It can be really daunting. But nevertheless, people are drinking less in the UK, with moderation on the rise. When UK adults do drink, they're drinking less in 2024 and more likely to be moderating their drinking generally. 9 in 10 people, 90% of UK drinkers, are trying to moderate their drinking in some way, up from 87 in 2023 and 84% in 2018. Drink-free days are still the most popular moderation technique. 71% of UK drinkers currently do this, while zero alcohol, 25% in 2023 versus 31% in 2024, and low alcohol, 28% in 2023 versus 34% in 2024, products particularly are becoming more widely used. Giving up or even reducing alcohol can present us with massive opportunities. It can be the beginning of a journey towards better health on all levels and a fresh start, which can feel really exciting. Even after 10 days of no alcohol, physically, individuals may notice significant improvements in their overall health, including better sleep quality, increased energy, and a more balanced metabolism, continued mental clarity and emotional stability, as individuals experience a newfound sense of control and well-being. It can bring a sense of accomplishment and strength, reinforcing the commitment to a life free from alcohol's influence, and can put us on the path to long-term health and happiness, signaling the beginning of a renewed and healthier lifestyle. This week, we're talking to Alexandra McRoberts, also known as the Sober Yoga Girl. She's a qualified yoga teacher and runs her own online sober community. She's the author of Sober Yoga Girl and has been alcohol-free for many years after her own healing journey. You can find out more about her on her website, soberyogagirl.com, and also follow her on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and X. Welcome to the show, Alexandra. It's great to have you here this week.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here, Dora.
Today, we're talking about how to give up alcohol for health. But before we go into our nitty-gritty of our interview, share with us how you came to be a yoga teacher and author.
I have been teaching yoga for about 10 years. And for a long time, I was teaching part-time and I was a full-time school teacher. And I knew that I wanted to teach yoga and that to be my full-time career for years, but I just didn't know how to do it, like how to build a sustaining business in this industry. And as a result, I just stayed in a job that I didn't really love. And it was when I hit a rock bottom with my own drinking in 2019 that it was almost like I woke up from sleepwalking through life, is what I described it as before. And I just realized, what am I doing? And my whole life, I just took a pivot, a 180 pivot, and knew that I dreamed of teaching yoga. And so I got the motivation and inspiration to do it full time. And a big part of my story was that I had gotten sober and I had been talking about it, and I never thought that it would turn into what it has become, which is like a sober community and sober curious community. And I've been leading sober yoga retreats around the world. I do teacher trainings for mostly sober women, but also sober curious women. And yeah, it's just been an incredible ride. And then the book was an extension of that. As I went on my own healing journey, I found this real benefit in writing. And then it just grew and turned into my story.
So your book is Sober Yoga Girl. It's also the title of your website, soberyogagirl.com. Where can people get the book?
The book is available on Amazon and on Kindle.
So if they type in that title, they should be able to get it. Also, if they go to your website, can they get it from your website?
I think on my website, there's a link to the Amazon sales page.
Okay. And people can find out about your teaching and your retreats on soberyogagirl.com.
Yes. So my retreats are through my community, which is called the Mindful Life Practice. And so it's also linked on, if you go on Sober Yoga Girl, it will link you to the Mindful Life Practice, which is the name of my community. And that's where you can find out about all the upcoming events this year.
Now, today we're talking about giving up alcohol for health. Very important topic, very transformative for the body, mind, and the spirit. Who should listen and benefit from today's show on this topic?
Anyone that is finding that alcohol is getting in the way, who they want to be and how they want to live their life. And I think that's so important because definitely at the time when I quit drinking, I think it's shifting culturally. But at the time when I quit, I feel like there was this big stereotype of either you're a normal drinker or you have a problem. And there was no in between. And in reality, I think that there's a lot of people who consider themselves normal drinkers, but they're like, I don't enjoy being hungover. I don't enjoy all the money I spend on alcohol. And they're looking for another better way to live their life and looking for support in that sense. I think anyone can go on a sober curious journey and you don't need a reason why and you don't need to hit some big rock bottom. It's just if you think there's a better way of living, then it's absolutely an option for you to explore.
Yeah, and we're going to explore that today. Tell us about your sober journey.
I grew up in Canada, which had a really similar culture, I think, to the drinking culture in the UK, which is that it was just commonly, we drank at all occasions, at birthdays, weddings, funerals. I saw my parents drinking all the time, my family drinking all the time, just in what was considered a normal amount. And so I think from then on and all through my teenage years, the over excess consumption of alcohol was just normalized. And I have a kind of interesting story because after I graduated from teachers college in Canada, there weren't really jobs in Canada. We were being encouraged to go overseas. And I ended up teaching for 2 years in Kuwait. And in Kuwait, alcohol is illegal. And that created just a really interesting mindset for me around access to alcohol and scarcity around alcohol and overindulging every time I traveled. After being in Kuwait for 2 years, then I moved to Abu Dhabi, where alcohol was abundant and free-flowing, and it was normal to drink to excess. And that kind of set me up for this moment about a year and a half in my time in Abu Dhabi, where I just realized this isn't working for me. I held a great job. I was a teacher. I was doing a great job at my work. So it wasn't like I had any issue at all with the way I was, my work or my relationships. I was just in debt. I was exhausted. I was hungover and I'm just tired of living that way. And so I joined an online community, which helped me go alcohol-free. It was an alcohol-free challenge. And I think I signed up for 28 days. And I never thought that at the moment that I signed up that I would stay sober forever. But it was about 2 weeks into it when I just realized, oh my gosh, I'm so much happier. I'm feeling so much healthier. And from there, with this online community, the days just added up. And the further I got into my journey, the more I realized this is going to be a permanent lifestyle change. I ended up creating the Sober Girls Yoga community and movement because it's a similar offering to what I experienced. But the challenge that I participated in was like a masculine run a marathon was the idea. It was a habit changing program. And I felt like the women in my life needed a softer and more spiritual approach to sobriety. And that's where my sober challenges came from. And so the idea is that you're committing to a regular yoga practice and you're connecting to spirit and building community to support you along the way.
How long did it take for you to feel a difference? Because you said after a while you started to feel healthier and also interestingly happier. How long did that take?
I would say The first 10 or so days were really hard. I was also struggling with my mental health for a long time, and I've now realized that I also had a lot of trauma that I had to process. And so there was a lot going on beyond just the alcohol, the removal of alcohol, but I really struggled with my body just recalibrating and anxiety and depression. It was probably around 10 or 11 days into it when that all started to lift. And I remember it was not the first Saturday morning because that was hard, but I think it was the second Saturday morning when I wasn't hungover. And I just remember riding the elevator down to get a coffee because I lived in an apartment at that point in Abu Dhabi and just looking at myself in the mirror and being like, I like who I see. I'm proud of who I am. I feel happy today. And that was when it sunk in for me. This has to be forever.
And did you get any side effects when you cut down on your alcohol and quit?
For me, the biggest thing was my mental health. I remember having a panic attack at work. It was really scary. And that wasn't normal for me. That was on maybe 4 days into my sobriety. I was having really serious depressive thoughts. And that was the biggest issue for me. But in terms of other things, I didn't experience. There's people that say they experience shakes and other sorts of physical symptoms. For me, it was just mental health symptoms.
Did you find it was really hard to cut down on the alcohol when you joined that journey, that challenge for 28 days? Was it difficult for you?
I think the hardest things were experiencing cravings, being confident in my decision, and then the loneliness. And I think that is a universal experience in the sober journey. Or I shouldn't say universal, but I think incredibly common. And the reason why is because a lot of us who are problem drinkers have built a social network of other people that want to drink in the same way that we do. And as soon as you change that behavior, it's a very sudden shift. It's not, say you're part of a gym community and you slowly start to discover that you actually like this yoga studio and then you phase out and then you're over in this other community. And it's like a progression that happens over time. But when you make a lifestyle change like sobriety, like it's either you're going to put yourself in those positions where you're around people drinking all the time, or you make a shift. And the hard thing was that because my friends were drinkers, they just didn't have the emotional capacity to hold space for what I was going through. And I think that's why the sober online communities are so massive around the world. And they are so important to people's journeys because they're not getting that support where they in their immediate community. And that's the need for these alternative communities to arise.
Were they real friends that you had, or were they just drinking buddies? And then that's why they weren't on the level emotionally to be a true friend.
Oh, totally. I totally think that they were just drinking buddies. And it was really interesting. There were select people within the group that, like, they were nice people, but they just were drinking buddies. There were some people who we were able to keep a bit of a friendship after things changed. But it was also me shifting too as a person. I was like, I want to be around growth-minded people. I want to be around people that are working hard for their goals and who inspire me and uplift me. I don't want to sit around the table and gossip and complain. Like, that's not who I want to be anymore. So it was an up level that came with the sobriety as well.
It sounds like the vibration was changing. Yeah. And then how was it going from that group to then finding new people? Because he's mentioned it's lonely. One of the hardest things about giving up alcohol is that loneliness because you're doing it on your own. I know you had the community online, but were you able to meet people in the real world as well? Make new friendships on a different level?
Initially, when I got sober, it was still pre-COVID. And I think I was searching for my people. I did find a nice community in like the gym I worked at in Abu Dhabi. And I would say those were mostly my friends for that time, which it was about a year from when I got sober to when COVID hit. And then once COVID hit, I became obsessed with building my business and my community members became my friends. And now I live, so I don't know if I even mentioned this in my story, but I moved to Bali, Indonesia, and I live here. And this is where I run the majority of my retreats and trainings. I do them internationally as well, like in India and back in Dubai and Mexico. But majority of my offerings are here. And the community that I live in now is like a sober focused community. I would say most people don't drink alcohol in the community that I'm part of. And so I feel very fortunate. And sometimes I forget what it's like to be in communities where alcohol is the center, because I know that's the norm for a lot of communities out there.
Yeah. And that can be the challenge. That's what makes it hard for some people to finally get sober. And that's why it's good to have these communities and other support. Just to remind people, Alex McRoberts, her website is Sober Yoga Girl. And her book, available on Amazon, is Sober Yoga Girl as well. So the website is soberyogagirl.com and the book is Sober Yoga Girl. We're talking about how to go give up alcohol for health. And we're going to be talking a lot more about that with Alex McRoberts, yoga teacher, after a few messages from our commercial partners.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with the Skin Comfort Formula online and in stores now.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, ant and deck. Fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Dora Walsh on UK Health Radio on my weekly show, Nutrition for Me. This week, we're speaking with Alex McRoberts, yoga teacher and author of Sober Yoga Girl. Her website is soberyogagirl.com. And as I mentioned, we're talking about giving up alcohol for health. Now, you may be thinking about doing that yourself. You may be thinking about cutting down and wondering and worrying about how can I do that? How can I build a community around me? What are the steps? How will I feel? What should I do? And that's what we're talking about today. We've talked about how hard it can be sometimes to give up alcohol, how Alex got herself sober, her journey, how she created a community. Alex, tell us, when you gave up alcohol and you became sober, did you find something else to replace the alcohol? Because sometimes people take up smoking or they do other things. Sometimes the replacement can be good and sometimes it can be bad. What did you do?
It's funny because in the initial part of my sobriety, I was very well. Like, I was just in the gym, working out, exercising. Like, I look back and I'm like, wow, I guess maybe my new thing was the gym. And that was great for the first year. And then, funny, when COVID hit and that I was about a year and a half into my sobriety, I ended up starting to work with, I was marketing these like alcohol-free wines and mocktails and whatever in the UAE where I was living. And they started sending me all these drinks and I was drinking them. And the funny thing was that it created this issue in me that I didn't have before, which was like a sugar issue. And I found myself really turning towards sweet in general. Like, it started with the alcohol-free wine and the mocktails and then became getting candy ordered to my house every night. And then, you know, smoothie bowls in the morning. And that was really interesting because it took me a while to recalibrate my gut health around that. And I see how that journey progressed. It's almost like I needed some kind of outlet. And when COVID hit and the gym was gone, that kind of became my transference. And I feel really fortunate now to be in a really good place with it, but it involves a lot of practices. It's a lot of daily work on my part of, like, I have to get out and do my walk. I have to meditate a couple times a day. I have to do my yoga practice, I have to read, journal, do, put all of these things in place so that I don't turn to these coping mechanisms that are going to impact my well-being.
What was the sugar giving you and the smoothie bowls and all these sweets delivered to your door in Abu Dhabi? What were you getting from them?
I think it was giving me like a dopamine hit.
And is that what you were getting from alcohol before?
I don't know if that's what I was getting from alcohol, but it definitely both were like a coping system. They were just like a coping strategy of I'm going to numb out from this stress that I'm experiencing with this thing. And I think when I was a school teacher, it was the stress of like my job, my work environment, blah, blah, blah. And then at the time when I got really into the sweets, it was like becoming an entrepreneur was so stressful because I didn't know how to ride the waves business. And I think I would turn to all the sugar to cope with it because I didn't have alcohol and I didn't have any other coping tools.
Sounds like it was a comfort.
Absolutely.
Been addicted to sugar in the past. I've got a really addictive personality, Alex. I would say I was never addicted to alcohol, but I just never felt good on it. So I gave up. It made me feel depressed. And in the UK, people love boozing, especially when I was growing up and I was younger. That was the main thing people did. But I gave up quite young because I just didn't get anything out of it. But then I did love sugar. And sometimes I'd be living on my own in London in a flat. And I'd sometimes really have these cravings. I'd even go out late at night looking for shops that would be open where I could get my chocolate fix. It was almost like a drug or addiction. It's almost like what alcoholics would do, going out to the off-license to find wine and stuff. So I can understand, you know, so we get something from it. And I realized at that time what I was getting was comfort and it was a way for me to do something and put my stress into that because I was getting a little hit and it was making me feel better. But as you say, it's a journey of this kind of giving up these little addictions because then you have to face yourself and you have to work on yourself. Otherwise, you can go backwards and you can go back to them if you don't work on yourself every day. So it sounds like you were journaling. It sounds like you meditate. Did you start eating better as well?
Yeah, it definitely went on some ups and downs. I remember when I first got sober, I got really into cooking for myself and I was making all these amazing meals. And I look back on photos and I'm like, wow, that was beautiful. And then it took a nosedive with business building, which is so ironic because I was building a business in wellness. And I point that out. I coach yoga teachers on entrepreneurship now. And I often point that out. If we're teaching wellness, then we have to focus on our own wellness first. We can't give what we don't have. And that was a big learning thing for me is that when I take care of myself, when I eat better, when I sleep well, when I do my practice, when I put all of these things in place, then the business just flourishes on its own.
Explain to us a typical day of getting up. What do you do? What do you drink? What do you eat? You mentioned you go for a walk. You mentioned you meditate. You do all these different practices to keep yourself on track and to build your business. So you're building yourself and being stable. You're building your business. It's flourishing. But give us an insight in what you do each day.
Yeah. So that's such an interesting question because my life feels like it's so inconsistent because I run my own yoga teacher trainings. I run my own retreats. I also teach for different retreats around Bali and I'll do retreats abroad in India or the UAE. And so right now, my typical day is pretty intense because I have this advanced teacher training group in Bali, but they're leaving in a couple days. And so when I have groups in, it's like full on teach all day. When I don't have groups in, I'll tell you what my day looks like when I'm here on my own. So I really love to, I know a lot of yoga teachers say that you should do a yoga practice, like an asana practice first thing when you wake up. I personally prefer to go on a walk through the village I live in. It makes me really happy to just get out in nature and see Balinese life waking up, see the ducks, see the sunrise, all of this, the market stalls. And then when I come home, I do my first meditation. I do two mantra meditation practices a day. So I do one in the morning and then one in the evening or the afternoon. And I take a lot of online calls, especially in the morning. I teach online yoga philosophy, meditation, pranayama, yoga entrepreneurship. I do online teacher training. So I have all of these commitments, which take up a lot of my day. And then usually my afternoons are free. And I often will do, I try to do different things that connect me to community and spiritual community within Bali. Like I'll go to yoga classes, go to a kirtan, a mantra class, like something where I can just be with other people, especially since I do so much online. It's really helpful for me to get out into community. And one thing that I'm not great at, which I really would love to focus on going into 2025, is I find it hard to have boundaries around like having a bedtime that's consistent and getting offline just because of all the time zones. I end up doing calls at 9 p.m. at night. And so I end up working often until the evening, but that would be one of my next steps for 2025 is like to make sure that I'm really setting a good evening routine, just like I have a really good morning routine.
What do you eat each day? How's your diet?
Yeah, this is a great question, actually, because I would say that I think my sugar cravings were often connected to me not having enough protein. Same with a lot of my mental health symptoms. And I read a couple of amazing books about nutrition and mental health that shifted my understanding of it. And I was vegan for a long time. I'm now not vegan anymore. And the reason why was I just felt like I wasn't getting enough protein, enough energy in my diet. And so now I eat a lot of protein. In the morning, I almost have the same thing every day, which is like eggs and a salad. And I usually have some toast with my breakfast and some fruit usually. And then my meals are varied at lunchtime, but I'll eat like Balinese food. Make myself a protein bowl with falafel and hummus and lots of vegetables. I'll make a Buddha bowl with beans and rice and all sorts of vegetables. So really my focus is like getting enough protein and getting enough fiber so that my body is feeling well. And it's been very interesting to watch myself over the years and see, because I now become much more mindful and aware of, oh, if I'm feeling anxious, maybe it's because I had too much coffee. Or, oh, if I can't sleep, maybe it's because I shouldn't have had those like sweets right before bed. And so I've become really aware of how closely my diet is linked to all of these things, mental health, my sober journey, feeling well, feeling energetic.
It sounds like you're so connected to your body now. And I think when people drink, they become disconnected from their body and their spirit and their mind. But as they give up alcohol, they become more sensitized to what's going into their body. Their body's cleaner, especially if you're eating well. And you sense the impact of your nutrition on how you feel. And you're totally right, Alexandra, about protein. It's so stabilizing. But definitely for anybody listening today that feels that, oh, feeling a bit down, for the bit low energy, concentrate, tired. Protein deficiency is very common. We're not having enough, and people are being sold like this veganism, and I don't want to criticize that, because for some people it really works, the people that can really organize themselves to do it, but it's an awful lot of work, and our body recognizes protein from animal sources much more readily than from non-animal sources. And it does sound a bit harsh, but that's just biochemically how it is. And when we have that protein, it's very stabilizing for the blood sugars. Therefore, our mood becomes stable. We don't have excessive cravings. I know cravings drive us into unhealthy behaviors. Our diet plays a remarkable role in our mental health, in our energy, in our well-being. And sometimes I do genetic tests on people, and they have certain genetic SNPs. The common one is MTHFR, and then they're feeling nervous. And it's all about basically how you methylate certain B vitamins. They need enough protein in their diet, and for all of us to be able to make neurotransmitters. And those neurotransmitters that transmit those neurological messages are made of protein. So if you're not getting enough, of course, you're not going to feel well. And start reaching out for other things, thinking, oh, I need a bit of coffee, or maybe if I have a drink, that'll give me a bit of an uplift. And it will for a while, but it won't satiate you in the way that protein does. And it also, Alexander, because you're doing yoga, you need to support your muscle health, don't you? You're going to be breaking down and rebuilding your muscles all the time with all the yoga you're doing. It's so great to hear that you're having eggs in the morning, you're having salad, you're mixing that with some glucose, but you're also including those vegetarian sources of protein from falafel and et cetera. So yeah, it sounds like you have a wonderful diet. Do you hydrate well?
That has been a struggle for me too. Staying hydrated, because my tendency or my habit is to not. I know how important it is for me though. And I would say it's up and down. I have days when I'm really on it and days when I forget, and that's okay.
It's hard for me too. And if I don't fill up my big bottle when I'm here at my desk, I might sit here for ages before I drink anything because I get caught up in my work, in my call. So it's about when you try and follow this healthier path, it does take a lot of consciousness and a lot of being present. And it's not always easy to do that. But we keep on bringing ourselves back to it. And we're not perfect, but we keep on trying to bring ourselves back to it and remind us that everything we do in terms of the foods we're eating, the drinks we're drinking, the thoughts we're thinking, everything that goes in, it's going to impact what comes out in terms of our thoughts and feelings and then the body that we are in. But yeah, it's so important to make that connection. We're going to be talking a lot more about giving up alcohol or health with Alex McRobert. She's the author of Your Sober Yoga Girl, and her website is soberyogagirl.com. After a few messages from our commercial partners.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Dora Walsh on the Nutrition for Me show on UK Health Radio, your global feel-good radio. And this week we're speaking with Alexandra McRoberts, yoga teacher, author of Sober Yoga Girl, available on Amazon. And also her website is soberyogagirl.com. And you can go there to find out about her sober community, teacher training, and everything she does. You've had an amazing journey of sobriety, Alex, and it's great to hear all the different steps. And I'm sure our listeners are getting a lot of hope from your own journey. In what ways did going sober improve your health?
It improved my health in so many ways. I have this memory. I was taking spinning classes and I was teaching. I don't think I was yet a spin teacher, but I was regularly taking spin maybe twice a week before I got sober. And I just remember maybe 2 weeks after I got sober, being in a spin class and just feeling like my cardiovascular health had improved dramatically. I felt like I had more endurance. I could ride for longer and feel less out of breath while I rode. And I feel like that was just a general trend for, it just went upwards. I found myself hiking up a mountain, like within a big mountain in Bali. I was like 300 days sober. And it was something that I definitely could not have done before I went alcohol free, because I just didn't have the strength, the resilience, the endurance. And I think it trickled into my life in so many ways, because once you see that you can apply the discipline to one thing, then you can transfer that to other things.
With that change, do you think that the endurance, the change was mental or physical or both?
I think both. It was a mental strength that I never had before, because I realized I can stay consistent. I can do this thing, even though it's really hard. And I think the physical difference was just, I think my body was run down because I was constantly healing and recovering from me putting alcohol into it, which is, we know, is a poison. And once it was out of my system, I could put my energy towards actual things like my exercise classes.
How was your skin and your sleep after you gave up alcohol?
So when I first got sober, my skin was great and my sleep was great as well. And then when I went through that patch where I was addicted to sugar, they both really got worse. Like my skin got worse, my sleep got worse. I was finding it hard to get out of bed. And then it was in, I think it was 2022, when maybe it might have been around the time that I was last on your show, or maybe this was a little bit after, but I ended up doing this. I saw a naturopath in Bali and ended up doing like a 7-day fast that just cleansed my body and reset my gut and reset everything. And from there, it's been an upwards trajectory. And that was where I had the real shift around protein and fiber, and now my skin and my sleep are back to better. So there were definitely some dips in there.
You know, sometimes people reaching out for alcohol to fill like some kind of need or worry or anxiety. And then if they give up, maybe they go on to something else like sugar or caffeine or smoking. Could this addiction actually be a misguided search for something else?
Absolutely. I've heard it said that addiction is a misguided spiritual search. And I have found myself, the further I'm into my sobriety, getting so interested in spirituality. I think that's why building the Sober Girls Yoga community was so important to me, because it's like infusing spirit into women's journeys on this. But also for myself, I'm studying now the Yoga Sutras and the Bhagavad Gita, and I take classes with an Islamic studies teacher. And now I find myself joining Alcoholics Anonymous, which I never was part of earlier and had a resistance to. But I'm just curious about how the big part of the program is finding spirituality, finding a higher power. And I'm just so interested in learning about all different types of people around the world and how they find faith and how they find spirit. And I really think that alcohol is a misguided spiritual search.
Do you think people feel empty and they're looking for something else therefore?
Absolutely. They're looking for a solution. They're looking for answers. I know for myself, I grew up in a home where religion was not really practiced. And I know, I'm sure for my parents, they had their good reasons for choosing that because of whatever their childhood experiences were. But as a result, I just didn't have hope when things went wrong. It was like, where do you get hope if you don't have any answer for what's going on? And I think that has become so helpful for me, is being able to look at a framework and a guide and many frameworks and guides and take from these lessons, these ancient teachings through many different traditions, wisdom traditions and philosophies and belief systems to help find hope and help find something to believe in.
Yeah, that's what gives us strength. I think if you can't put your hope in anything, and we should never put our hope in people because they're only human and we all make mistakes. Everybody's flawed. Then we have to put it into something higher. So if you don't have that, it's very difficult. And therefore, sometimes people turn to substances just to fill the void. So yeah, I totally understand what you're saying, and that hope in something gives one strength to carry on despite the worries, because there are always worries in the world. There'll always be troubles. We're not in a perfect world. We're in a three-dimensional world still, and it's duality. Life is hard. We have to struggle. But if we put our hope in something higher, then that gives us the spiritual energy to continue in the natural plane, because we're on a physical earth, aren't we? So we have to live the physical life, and that comes with limitations, worry, pain, stress, upset, all of that. So it's good to feel that one has something to put one's hope and faith in, and one can get guidance from a higher power. And then that can influence one's life and decisions, and that can drive you to greater things. Giving up alcohol, you might not realize, but maybe you've been guided by a higher power, eating a better diet, building your business, getting ideas, tapping into intuition, getting healthier. it's amazing what you can do when you tap in. Now, tell us about the sense of community. How important is this sense of community in the sober journey? Because it sounds like it can be lonely.
Yeah, absolutely. So in the spiritual or in the sober journey in general, I think when people go through that transformation, they're just so different than they were before. It can just feel incredibly isolating. And in the spiritual world, we refer to it as a sangha. A sangha is your community. And I think when you feel like you're in despair, you feel hopeless, finding a sangha, finding a community that you can take refuge in, but also being held and supported by a teacher and inspired by a teacher is so crucial. And for me, I can think of when I first went alcohol-free, the people that were mentors along that journey, even they were from afar, the people that were role models for me. And so I think having all sorts of community, like being part of an actual community of other people that are along the way, finding inspirational people that you can look to help guidance when things get tough, all of that is incredibly important in just building a solid foundation to thrive on.
Tell us about your book and how it helped you to recover, because you said that in your sober journey, you started to take up writing and that really supported you in your journey.
The sober community that I was part of, there wasn't any live connection, and they really encouraged us to connect via a Facebook group. And so I joined this Facebook group and I started posting. I think I did my first post on day 14. I just said, I'm 14 days alcohol free or whatever I said. And I slowly started growing a community there through just posting my stories. I would say day 21, I had my first sober date tonight and he was trying to pressure me to drink. But I resisted. I explained to him why I was sober. I would just post very vulnerable things like that. And I had no idea that it was really growing me a community within a community. And that was the beginning of the writing. And when I hit 90 days sober, this community that I was part of, they asked me, can we use you to do testimonials? And I thought about this for a while because I knew that if I were a testimonial, then my face would be out there and then people would know that I had this issue with alcohol. And I eventually decided to do it because I felt like my story could help other people. And when the amount of people that resonated with what I posted made me realize that it was really important for me to share and recover out loud to support other people that could see themselves in my story, I started posting regularly. And then it was around a year sober when I had this idea to start writing. And it's really funny to me because I haven't shared a lot about this in the interview, but there was a pivotal moment for me when I was 25. I got married at a really young age and I ended up leaving the person that I married just on this gut feeling that it was the wrong decision for me. But I left him. We had been married for 2 months and I left him. And I held a lot of guilt and there was a lot of other stuff that happened. I was really young and I didn't realize that I had been traumatized by it. And when I look back on my life, it seems very obvious what happened, but I could not see it when I was in it, which is I was traumatized. I didn't have the support to heal. And then I just got myself really deep into drinking and I had to write my way out of it. It's like I think it's the fourth step in the AA program that says to make a personal inventory. And that's basically, to me, that sounds like writing the story of your life. What happened? How did you get to this point? And that's what I did. It was an inventory. And the book was a 5-year project because there were a number of things that I needed time to resolve, needed time to heal. There were a couple conflicts that I needed to make amends with the people involved in them. And the final thing that I'll share is in December of last year, I emailed my ex-husband, who I hadn't spoken to in 7 years, to say to him, hey, I wrote this book. I'm going to publish it. Your name is not identified. No one can identify you. Are you okay with that? And he emailed me back and he said to me, Alex, you're never going to believe this. I'm also 5 years sober and I also wrote a book about it and you're in it. And that to me was like mind-blowing because I realized that it's almost like both of us came into each other's lives for this exact purpose of causing this destruction. We both came into it with our own issues with alcohol. We both destructed each other's well-being. And then we had to rebuild our lives and we did it on almost identical timelines, but not together, apart. And that has made me believe that everything that happened for a reason, specifically to get me to where I am today.
Amazing testament, Alexandra. It sounds like you were on a parallel timeline doing the same thing, but not together when you parted. So it's such an amazing story. Now, your book is The Sober Yoga Girl. It's available on Amazon. If people want to find out more about you, your website is soberyogagirl.com. It's been wonderful having you on the show, talking about how to give up alcohol to have a healthier life. And listeners, I hope you've enjoyed listening to the show as much as I've enjoyed presenting it. Please join us again next week on the Nutrition for Me show on UK Health Radio, your global feel-good radio. Today's show is brought to you in association with Revive Active, our show's sponsor, Ireland's number one super supplement brand. Enjoy Revive Active's range of super supplements and feel great. Revive Active have teamed up with UK Health Radio to offer listeners an exclusive discount so you can test their supplements for yourself and start feel super. Just go to reviveactive.com and use Radio 20 to get 20% off their entire range. Until next week, thank you and goodbye.